Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 30th and final day of November 2023. I'm your host, Mark Call. And like it or not, folks, I feel like I've got to start off with a story today that I hope at least every single person who's been listening to this show realizes you could have predicted, and indeed most of us probably did, because, and how many times do we have to see it? It was a lead pipe cinch, it was coming, and besides, the evil minions of Satan even telegraphed their moves. And why do they really believe they can get away with the same or worse one more time? Because as one of my favorite authors, Robert A. Heinlein, once pointed out, never underestimate the power of human stupidity. People bought it before, they put on their mask, they socialist distanced themselves, they allowed their businesses and even their children to be destroyed. They drank the Kool-Aid, or now it's the Bud Light, and they allowed themselves to be injected with a Zyklon B poison. Not once, not twice, but some of them, three, four, who knows how many times. And guess what, folks? Most will do it again. Maybe they aren't stupid enough to say it's COVID-23 this time, but nope, it'll be booga, 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 the Ebola pox or monkey pox variations, or maybe the new white lung syndrome. Right out of China again, and right at the same time of year, if you think back, that they pulled the same stunt, or at least something awfully similar, it certainly rhymes anyway, 4 years ago. Oh, and by the way, when I say a story, I actually mean several of them, all of them part of the same bigger picture, from multiple sources. But that too is a big part of the picture. So folks, here's my headline for what turns out to be a headline review. Mystery wave of white lung syndrome hits America. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Two of them, first from the Daily Mail, and now the first U.S. state records child pneumonia outbreak. Says one headline, mystery wave hits America. Ohio County records 142 child cases of white lung syndrome. Booga, 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 which they say meets the definition of an outbreak. Meanwhile, China and Europe grapple with crises. How about this one? Denmark, too, says a different headline, same source, battles a surge in the pneumonia sparking fears in China. But it's not just the Bud Light pushers today. Even the conspiracy theorists have noticed. Who has rushed to consolidate more medical tyranny, says a piece from the All News Pipeline, and they've authorized a new emergency use of the COVID vax at the same time as the new mystery pneumonia is spreading. Now, in fairness, they're not drinking the Kool-Aid, just warning about what we all knew was coming. And while they go in a slightly different direction than your host does, they tend to focus on the WEF, Charles Schwab, and those that want to make you eat bugs and die, which is the bigger picture long-term, but that's as opposed to the near-term agenda that your host can't help but think just might be associated with the fact that, hey, how many kids got injected? How many are going to die anyway? Don't we need something really scary to attribute those deaths to rather than letting people realize what the actual cause almost certainly was? And if they can get their parents to give part B of that bioweapon, no, it's actually part C at this point, of that same bioweapon to the kids and kill them outright, so much the better, at least so far as true evil is concerned. And in case you're curious, yeah, I did check, there's absolutely no hint that any of this could possibly be associated with the last wave of Zyklon B injections. Some of you may have heard them called the COVID vaccine. And of course, they changed the definition of vaccine. They're not even remotely a vaccine, but they do reprogram your immune system and, as it turns out, ultimately destroy it. That is, if you don't die of myocarditis or some other heart issue first. Oh yeah, and while we're on that subset of the same topic, how many more stories like this do we need to see? Official government data, which has now been analyzed by yet more people, reveals, shockingly say some, that people aged 18 to 49 who have received four doses of the Zyklon B not vaccine are over 300% more likely to die of any cause or all causes than unvaccinated people in the same age group. Do you see why we need a new scare? A new excuse? But when it comes to teenagers, yeah, they're about four times more likely to die of cancer than their pure-blood peers. And years from now, you can rest assured, if the world lasts that long, that those pure-blood peers will be a lot more likely to reproduce, too. The London Telegraph is telling us about monkeypox and Ebola, too. Meanwhile, even Channel 9 local news in Denver says this. Denver Health, SICK, has now administered its first shots of Ebola vaccines, becoming one of the first health SICK systems in the U.S. to administer the newly approved Ebola vax called Erverbo. I can't help but think that's Italian for take this and you'll bleed out. The Puff piece says breathlessly that a few medical employees at Denver Health made history Monday as some of the first people to receive the Ebola vaccine for preventative measures. Yeah, in case you haven't heard, but don't worry, you will. Ebola is a rare but deadly disease with a potential Fauci mouthwatering mortality rate of 70%.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Once confined largely to Africa, but who knows, folks, and they're not about to even hint at this, maybe some of the people that are getting the live virus just might be able to shed a bit of it here. Oh, no, wait, what am I suggesting? I'm sure the FDA would never approve anything without adequate testing. At least they wouldn't tell you the truth about it for maybe 75 years or so after it's all said and done. So let me say it again, because the point should be obvious. Well, it should have been obvious before we even saw these stories. They did it before. They got away with it. Can you even remotely be surprised that they intend to do it again? The bigger issue is, will you be fooled this time around? And if not, will you keep silent and let it happen? From there on, we go to another story that should surprise absolutely no one at this point. This comes from Representative Clay Higgins, Republican from Louisiana, and a Newsmax interview that he did with Chris Salcedo, in which the lawmaker said that there were at least 200 undercover federal agents among the crowd at the U.S. Capitol on the infamous Fedsurrection Day of January 6, 2001, when the final solution to the Biden coup was implemented. The lawmaker further stated that some of the operatives were, quote, dressed as Trump supporters and were inside the Capitol prior to the alleged breach, when in fact various guards and other so-called law enforcement opened the door and invited people in for a tour. Said Representative Higgins, agents efficiently entered online chat groups, forums, and socialist media platforms where demonstrations against COVID regulations and objections to the rigged 2000 election were being discussed, he said. And, quote, when you track the text threads and the communications within those groups, and find the origins of suggestions of potential violence or active occupation of the Capitol on January the 6th, you'll find that those messages were led by members of the groups that ended up to be the FBI agents that had infiltrated the group, unquote. And you know what, folks? This is nothing new. Anybody that understands the history of other extremist and racist groups in the U.S. knows there was an old joke that literally dates back decades and decades that the only people paying Ku Klux Klan dues, and that's how the scumbags knew who they were FBI. And let's not forget, they included some high-level senators with connections to Hitler and Biden, too, like the not-really-so-honorable Robert Byrd. Continued Clay Higgins, so the FBI's involvement was deep, not just on J6, but on the days and weeks and months prior. And earlier in November, notes a summary by Melinda Davies, Higgins pressed FBI Director and Chief Hormeister Christopher Wray over the presence of undercover agents and officers on January 6th. As you know, that lying scumbag has continually said, under oath and elsewhere, well, basically nothing that would confirm or deny the truth. And he even declined to say just how many agents they had in the crowd. While former Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund has indicated he was aware of at least 30, maybe 40 FBI operatives or DHS personnel there on that infamous day. Higgins even asked Wray about two buses that lacked identification and referred to them as ghost buses, a phrase used by so-called law enforcement, and said these buses are, quote, nefarious in nature and were filled with FBI informants dressed as Trump supporters deployed onto our Capitol on January 6. And while Wray didn't contradict that assertion by Higgins, he did try to claim that no FBI agents were actually involved, quote, in the violence at the Capitol, unquote, on January 6th. Well, it all depends on what the meaning of the word agents is. No, folks, they just incited it and then gave a little push here and there when it was necessary. After other agent provocateurs probably paid, and remember that means one way or another, not necessarily in currency, confidential human sources, their term is CHS, did the real dirty work. That way they have plausible deniability. And have we ever seen anything like that before? Davies goes on to say that court documents show that at least 20 FBI and ATF agents were embedded around the Capitol building on January 6th, and that revelation came in a footnote to a motion to dismiss submitted by the defense in U.S. v. Thomas Caldwell and U.S. v. Elmer Stewart Rhodes, based on eyewitness testimony, unmirandized statements, and multiple 302 forms. It goes on to note that literally tens of thousands of private communications within the Oath Keepers organization have been provided, including encrypted messages specifically addressing preparation for the Fed's surrection on January 6th. Additionally, multiple 302s, witness statements, unmirandized statements, and etc. from multiple Oath Keeper-related witnesses and defendants have been reviewed. Bottom line, at least 20 FBI and ATF assets were embedded around the Capitol on January 6th, and furthermore, the discovery proved that Oath Keepers were being monitored and recorded prior to the date of the Fed's surrection itself. Funny, you're never going to see those videos or reports either. You may recall this as well. On January 3rd, the FBI sent secret commandos to their farm site for what was called shoot-to-kill authority training for contingencies such as the Capitol riots days ahead of the event. And Newsweek reported thusly in January that on, quote, Sunday, January 3rd, the heads of half a dozen elite government special ops teams went to Quantico, Virginia, to go over potential threats, contingencies, and plans for the upcoming joint session of Congress. That meeting and the subsequent deployment of these shadowy commandos on January 6th has never before been revealed, unquote. And if they had their way, folks, you still wouldn't know about it. Although, two Facebook, Twitter, and most of the other affiliated public-private partners are going to do their best to make sure you still don't hear about it now. From there, on to another, tell me something I didn't know story, this time courtesy of Life News. The Biden Führer and those pulling his puppet strings want to effectively ban Christians and others who can read scripture from adopting children in the foster care system. Well, folks, the truth is, a lot of folks who know what they're going to have to go through in order to adopt a child have already decided, I'd just as soon not sell my soul to whatever it is that they're serving. Biden, though, says the piece wants to essentially ban Christians from adopting foster care children based on their religious beliefs and their opposition to their preferred radical LGBTQIA+PB, etc. ideology. The Department of Achtung, Health and Human Services has proposed, what else? A new rule that would prohibit families who do not support their satanic, anti-scriptural LGBTQ, etc. ideology from daring to think they might be allowed to care for foster children. But ain't it funny, folks? Hunter Biden and sex slavers, well, that's just fine. Don't you even dare suggest otherwise. And what, you might be asking, is the rationale for this latest rash of evil masquerading as wholesome? Because they claim the Social Security Act requires federally funded foster care agencies to provide, get this, safe and proper care for foster children.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
And that does not mean you, you cisgendered bitter clingers with your Bibles, your guns, your patriotism, and your constitutionally approved Bill of Rights BS. That is no longer allowed in the Biden Führer America. Because how can people that even remotely believe any such thing possibly provide a safe or nurturing home? At least nurturing them into the ideology that they want little skulls full of mush, as the late Rush Limbaugh once put it, to be indoctrinated into supporting. Don't kid yourself, folks. There very much is a state religion, and the Bible is clearly not welcome in it. Item: Henry Kissinger is dead at the age of 100. No comment. Draw your own conclusions. Here next, the long story I don't really have time to do today, but it sets up where I do want to go as we wrap things up, says Egon von Greers, financial analyst for the Swiss GoldSwitzerland.com company and a gold advocate himself, the financial system has finally reached the end. Even the Chinese, he said, forecast it correctly back in 1971 when Tricky Dick Nixon closed the gold window. And it takes a while, but as Ludwig von Mises correctly observed, quote, there is no means of avoiding the final collapse of a boom brought about by credit expansion, unquote. And of course, the Austrians know that includes things like fiat money, a.k.a. what the Bible calls dishonest weights and measures. But the bottom line, suggests von Greers, the next few years are about survival. He focuses on the financial aspects, but notes we're approaching one of the most precarious times in human history, whether it's financial, social, political, or geopolitical issues you're talking about. So when push comes to shove, make sure that you've got something real, that you know how to store it, save it, use it, and protect it. And as your host will quickly add, know who you serve and know where your real treasure needs to be stored. This next item is another related piece that I've actually seen at this point through multiple sources. It too is not surprising, but the fact that it is finally being talked about, more or less openly, outside of the usual socialist media suspects, is important, even if the information will sound familiar. As Leah Holman puts it in his Substack, have you ever dared to vote for Donald Trump? Have you ever posted a comment on any socialist media platform that was even remotely favorable towards Trump? Well, you're probably then, and you knew this, didn't you, on some FBI website or internal document. According to an October 4 report in Newsweek, the, quote, federal government believes that the threat of violence and major civil disturbance around the 2024 U.S. presidential election is so great that it has quietly created a new category of extremists. Now, I've talked about this before, but I guess it's nice to see even some of the leftist rags starting to say, have they gone a bit too far? No, folks, that's not the point here. And while that might be what you're supposed to think, stay tuned. This new category of extremists, they continue, that it seeks to track and to counter Donald Trump's army of MAGA followers. Notice the term army, says Holman. There's a sinister purpose behind that word. Big Brother, i.e. the government, in cooperation with its corporate public-private partners at Newsweek, are trying to paint a picture of an organized military force ready to go to war with Trump as its leader. And as a member, he says, of the conservative movement in America, I can tell you that it is, in fact, the most unorganized, disjointed, and fragmented movement in the country. It's not in any way monolithic, and as such poses no threat to the government or anyone else. But this is who, and here he makes a big mistake. He says the word our in this sentence, our government, and don't kid yourself, folks, this government has nothing to do with either being ours or even remotely constitutional in nature. Well, that government has targeted us for monitoring and tracking. They're not worried, he says, about the army of Chinese men of military age pouring over the open border at a rate of 2,000 to 4,000 per month under the Biden Fuhrer. They're not worried about Iranian sleeper cells. They're not worried about, you know, all the other names, the Taliban, Hamas, MS-13, the drug cartels. They give them weapons and then blame you for them. No, they're worried about American citizens on Team Trump who want to see their candidate in the White House or anybody else that will say no to Big Brother. And all of that is forbidden. It's just that there aren't any really other high-profile viable candidates, even remotely, saying something against the establishment, regardless of which wing of the bird of prey they flap for. Here's a blurb, says Holman from the article. The challenge for the Federal Bureau of Instigation, they spelled it wrong, the primary federal agency charged with law enforcement, what a crock, is to pursue and prevent what it calls domestic terrorism without direct reference to political parties or affiliations, even though we all know exactly which political party and communist affiliations they really are pushing for. And says Holman, even though the vast majority of its current so-called anti-government investigations are of Trump supporters, according to classified data obtained by Newsweek, said a current FBI official who supposedly requested anonymity to discuss the highly sensitive internal matters, quote, the FBI is in an almost impossible position, unquote. Yeah, folks, how do you hide the fact that you were involved in a coup 60 years ago this month, and that's only the beginning of your perfidy? Or maybe better put, the beginning of the middle of your perfidy, while still pretending that somehow or other you are law enforcement. The FBI source told Newsweek, or so they say, that the agency, get this, must preserve the constitutional right of all Americans to campaign, to speak freely, and protest the government. Did he really come right out and try to get anybody to actually believe that? As it holds its nose and begrudgingly grows through the motions of, as Holman puts it, preserving any of our rights. The article, says Holman, and I guess you probably conclude your host would agree, is a laughingstock, pure propaganda, but they're not even good at creating propaganda because nobody with half of a working brain still believes the FBI has any respect for the Constitution or even aspects of the rule of law. That's the very same agency, after all, that threatened to investigate parents attending school board meetings and traditional Catholics who attend Latin masses. This is the same FBI that breaks down the doors of unarmed senior citizens like Roger Stone, he includes a picture, and arrested elderly women praying in front of abortion clinics, etc., etc., etc. By focusing on Trump and his MAGA supporters, the FBI official claimed the Bureau runs the risk of provoking the very anti-government activists that the terrorism agencies claim they hope to counter. And that, folks, is unmitigated, no, not laughingstock crap, but total BS. Why? Because, let's be clear here, I don't think there's any doubt about what they intend to do, and that is to provoke the very same civil war that they're going to claim through what Holman correctly describes as their crocodile tears, oh so unconvincingly, that they hope to avoid by pushing and poking and provoking and jailing and terrorizing the very people that actually still believe in truth, justice, and the American way, at least until the FBI completely puts a wooden stake in it. Some even grew up watching Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., and it took them a while to figure out that was a total crock way back then. Says Holman, yeah, they're still trying to at least pretend like they have constitutional boundaries within which they can conduct their Gestapo operations on American soil, violate households under cover of darkness, force their victims into black SUVs, and then hand them off in handcuffs and leg irons to the American gulag, where they await their Soviet-style show trials. Their crime? Orwell had this right, too. These Americans are anti-government in their thinking. And, says Holman, unless there's a new category of crime actually passed by Congress, and by the way, if they did, folks, it would be anti-constitutional, the thought crime, as it is rightfully called, and while they're working on it, they really don't have one in place yet, they got pre-crime, though, and speech crimes, is no crime at all, because it is not yet a crime to be anti-government, especially, folks, when the government itself is anti-constitutional. And he puts it this way, any government that prosecutes any of its citizens for being so-called anti-government is by nature tyrannical, because people living under a legitimate constitutional republican form of government would have no reason to be anti-government. They would in fact think, hey, that's what the founders tried to put in place, a government that would try to secure the rights given to us by our creator. This Newsweek article, he concludes, was perhaps the most pathetic psyop disguised as a news article I've ever seen. Its purpose was not to inform, but to intimidate, while presenting a facade of respect for constitutional rights that they truly, and you can see through the facade, detest. This is exactly, he said, why the FBI should never have been created in the first place. If we had a constitution, folks, they couldn't have been. Our founding fathers would have rolled over in their graves, no doubt that's true, at the very thought of a national police force or, as they put it, a standing army. Even if it started out with a mission that focused on legitimate federal crimes like foreign terrorists or, can you imagine this, treason, who infiltrated America, any freedom-respecting constitutionalist could have predicted, with even a modicum of common sense, much less historical understanding, that it would one day be weaponized and turned against the domestic political opponents of the overpowered elite. That, he says, is why I am of the belief, and by the way, your host obviously concurs, that if we had a constitution, the FBI would never have been formed, but at this point should simply be defunded, permanently disbanded. And if you want a test, a litmus test, for any member of Congress or an administration or even the bureaucracy, if they don't get that, they got no business being anywhere close to the swamp or the center of power, such as it is, but it was never supposed to be. And by the way, you don't even need to be armed in order to be a totally, strictly investigative agency, adds Leo Holman. Quick aside here, folks. Does anybody not want to laugh when they hear terms like Federal Bureau of Investigation? Can you recall any time of late when the FBI has actually gone in and done something like an investigation, as opposed to, say, stealing computers, videos, and making damn sure that they were locked down so that they, especially if they were incriminating of those in power and pulling their strings, never saw the light of day? Why, remember what happened to those other videos out of Las Vegas that you never saw? Or what, you forgot? Yeah, that makes the point. If there was a real reason for an FBI, they could do the investigations, then turn that information over, as the Constitution intended, to state and local law enforcement, which could then make the decisions, if they weren't run by Soros suck-ups, of whether or not to make arrests. As opposed to just saying, well, if they're far-left communists, they can do whatever they want. If they invade, they can do whatever they want. But if they dare to think there's a rule of law, well, throw the book at. No, throw them in the gulag and throw away the key. Finally, says Holman, regular readers know I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. I turned against him when he rolled out the militarized vaccine program with an injection that wasn't even a vaccine, and so forth and so on. And so he concludes, I'm done with Trump. I even think he could be a plant who's working for the other globalists. A la, remember this, folks, Emmanuel Goldstein. And this is a great parallel from George Orwell's 1984. Big Brother was always after him. Turns out he was precisely what is now called controlled opposition. And that'll do it for now. We're out of time. Thanks for being with us today. Think about what we are getting exposed to and what we are, well, we all know we're going to see. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.